Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Monday, April 22nd. The fourth Monday of the month at this time, we are normally joined by 85th District State House Representative Brad Slaw, the third-term Republican from Zeeland Township, who joins us today via the Zoom connection as he is on business assignment. Brad, good morning. Glad you are able to join us today.
And I'm really glad to be here as well. And I don't have a dental appointment, so I can go right up to the end of the time.
Okay, that's just fine. You know, you can't cancel the proceedings because of campaigning, but you can cancel because you got to get your teeth fixed. Well, we understand that there is a pain in the mouth. Some might say the defendant's a pain in the mouth too, but that's an editorial comment. If you got a question for State Representative Brad Slaw, I'll be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Real quick, before we get into some of the meatier stuff, I do want to mention the fact that you'll be holding office hours this coming Friday, the 26th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've got office hours, just a chance for people to show up and talk to me if they'd like. I try and do them so that at least one of them is outside of normal business hours. So I'm starting at 7 a.m. at Community Restaurant in Zeeland. I'll be there for an hour until 8. And then I'll be on to Signature's Coffee and Espresso Bar in Hudsonville. And I'll be there for an hour from 8:30 till 9:30. And then at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the Big Apple Bagel in Jenin, right on Baldwin Street.
So
looking forward to seeing people there.
There'll be some. Oh, well, I have to work, so I won't be able to be there. But that's okay. I mean, you're in my neck of the woods, but that's okay. You can check out the new digs over at Community Restaurant and see if the food is as good as it was before the burnout. So hopefully, it will work out just fine. Now, let us move on to some things going on within the district and within the legislature. The governor signed your legislation about the speed limit bill. It's now Public Act 33 of 2024. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican governor or a Democratic governor. When you get a piece of your legislation signed into law, that's a red letter day.
You know what? It is an exciting day for me. And it's something, literally, I've been working on this particular speed limit bill since I got there. It was something that had just begun before I came into Lansing. And so we put together a bill back then and have had a chance to work it through until it finally got all the wrinkles out of it. And it now got approved. And it's an exciting day when you can think, okay, we've done the work so that both the Democrats and the Republicans can say, yes, this is a good legislation. Let's vote on it and pass it.
Now, keep in mind, and I'm going to, first of all, say something against me. When we brought this up, and I don't know if it was last month or the 2 months before, I was confusing our conversation with you with a conversation I had with State Senator Roger Victory of Hudsonville in dealing with speed limits. Now, your bill, which is now law, basically allows jurisdictions to be able to do less, to be able to set speed limits, not having to go through an extra hoop or two. But I'm paraphrasing it, but that's pretty much your law, right?
Correct. Instead of doing just one study, which is what the bill allows you to do now, just one study, a speed limit study. You had to do a speed limit study, and you had to do an engineering study before. So this will save local units of government some money if they don't need to do that engineering study.
All right. The reason why I'm mentioning that is that I got confused with a conversation I had late last year late last year or early this year with State Senator Roger Victory. He was talking about and cited specifically Rosewood Street over in Georgetown, where
Jenison.
Jenison area, where it's 40 miles an hour heading west off of 28th, and then you get to a subdivision and it's supposed to go down to 25, but it's not marked. And there were some issues along the lines, and some of the authorities were telling residents, park your cars on the street, it'll slow traffic down. And that's something that Roger was very much unhappy with.
The way that the Michigan State Police are looking at that road, they're saying it actually is because it is unposted, because it hasn't had a speed study done on it, it's actually a 55 mile an hour speed limit through that residential area. And the reciprocal is the Ottawa County Road Commission, who is responsible for establishing roads and allowing things to happen inside the jurisdiction, said that the road was actually designed to be a subdivision road, which would be 25 miles an hour. So there's some discrepancy in that road, particularly we're actually working on maybe even another piece of legislation that would help, because right now they're not required to live into what it was designed for originally. So
yeah, and to be honest with you, that's got to go down to 25. I'm sorry. Yes, I know it's basically a straight shot from 36th to 28th in that area, but still, you know, it's residential. I see kids playing there. I see kids booting soccer balls into the street there, folks. Yeah, I know it's in my backyard, but it could happen other places in this county and in this state, and that's why the legislation is needed. If you got a question for State Representative Brad Slaw, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Well, the effort was there last Tuesday, but not surprisingly, two Democrats did fill the two empty House seats in a special election in Warren and Livonia. So, therefore, the majority, again, is with the Democrats, 56-54. Might be short-lived, although Democrats are saying we're going to do a massive spending campaign to try to maintain that, and specifically targeting the news last week of Lee Chatfield's situation and trying to use that as a political tool. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how that really shakes down now moving forward, Brad, between now and, November 5 when we have to go to the polls.
Yeah. So right now, that 56-54 headwind that the Democrats have in the House allows them, and a small majority in the Senate allows them to be in control of everything that we're doing, because they've got a Democrat governor to go along with that. And they've successfully done lots of stuff their first year in office. Been a little slow this last bit since we have not had that kind of majority in the House. And we're going to see, I think, what their policy bills are that they're going to try and run. First of all, it's going to be the budget that we're working on right now. And so we can talk about that maybe in a few minutes. But that will be something that can be led and moved forward by the Democrats. And I think they'll be able to run that soundly through. The next phase of effort will be, what are we going to do with some policy bills that have kind of been started? We haven't seen where that's all going to go yet. So it'll be really interesting for the next few weeks until we get to probably a summer break, where there'll be a fair amount of folks out and knocking on doors from both sides of the aisle. And then we'll see what happens with lame duck. If the election goes to the Republicans in the House in November, I think we would see some really interesting lame duck proceedings go on from then to the end of the year.
You've got a question for State Representative Brad Slaw, District 85, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. May 17th, the next Revenue Estimating Conference, the one in January, some thought might have been a little bit better than expected. As a former county treasurer, which you were before you became a legislator, I don't want you to put a crystal ball prediction, but do you have a funny feeling this Revenue Estimating Conference might not come in so well for the state?
state. You know, it's been an interesting thing, Gary. It has been something that we've been watching, obviously. You're correct. The January estimating conference came in and said, oh, yeah, we should still have lots of revenue and not a problem. And then January and February hit, and both of those months have seen less revenue than was anticipated and had been there from the prior years. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be able to do with the budget now that there appears to be a bit of a softening that they were not expecting in that tax revenue and fee revenue thing that's going on. That doesn't mean that the governor's budget, which preceded this period of time, didn't look to make cuts, but there may need to be some other thoughts about how that's all progressing.
If you got a question for State Representative Brad Slaw, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Good morning. You're on the line with the representative.
Good morning. I was just wondering how many illegal aliens that they've allowed into Michigan so far.
Great question. I'm not sure that I've got any answers to that at all, because it's not being done in a way that's public information that I'm seeing. So I've not seen it. And maybe, Gary, because you follow up on lots of other pieces, maybe you've got different thoughts.
I have not seen anything, caller, about the numbers we have in Michigan, though.
Okay. It just seems like we should be, at least finding out how many are coming to each state so we know what's going on, you know, in these areas, because it sounds like in other states they're having a lot of trouble with violence. So I think we should at least track them here in Michigan so we don't end up with the same problem.
In light that they're illegal and that they're coming in places and along places and being just ushered to other parts of the country, anybody really wants us to know is what it appears like.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I just think somebody should keep track of that, whether it's the state or the federal government, or somebody should track it state by state so that we aren't getting plane loads or bus loads of people coming to Michigan that we don't know about.
Yeah, would be a way to prevent that. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 616-395-1450. Brad, did you sign off on the Michigan Freedom Caucus letter asking the governor to send National Guard troops down to Texas or not?
We did. I didn't see the final. I said I'm interested in being on if there were some spelling things and some stuff corrected. So I'm assuming that I got on, but I did a final copy of it as of yet.
Okay, but should Michigan send troops down to Texas, or, you know, should this really be a federal issue?
I think it should be a federal issue, but because I'm not sure that we're going to get that, I'm looking for ways to be able to protect the National Guard at all levels. And so if our Michigan National Guard can be there to help supply some backup for a short period of time, I guess I'm thinking that there may be a reason for us to try and help.
616-395-1450 if you have a question for State Representative Brad Slaw. Joining us via the Zoom connection, and we're working around it. 616-395-1450. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Brad. You've taken up a lot of prison reform work during your time. Basically, you picked up the mantle from your predecessor, Joe Halfman. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I don't know that I picked up the same mantle, but I picked up a mantle like what he was wearing. Because I was placed on the Appropriations Committee for Corrections, I've definitely been involved with that. Been to probably 8 prisons as of this point in time, just to get a chance to see people, talk to them, make sure I understand what the concerns are.
The reason why I'm asking is we got a story on our wires last week, and I want to get your thoughts on it. As recidivism rates in Michigan are at their second lowest ever, according to the Michigan Department of Corrections. A new study of over 6,000 inmates who left prison in 2020 found 22.7% committed new crimes. The all-time low was set the previous year at 22.1%, and the rates have been studied every year since 1998. MDOC Offender Success Administrator Kyle Kaminsky says that the rate is a testament to the creativity and drive of the department over the last several years to refine approaches and help people avoid going back to prison after being released. Is that a little crowing, or because you've seen a little bit and maybe have a closer look at it, maybe the Department of Corrections is onto something good?
Yeah, I think they are truly working on several fronts. One of those fronts is actual job training. So we're working, way more effort was being put into trying to ensure that people have skills, over-the-road skills for truck driving, building, plumbing, other kinds of skills that they're being taught inside the walls, so that when they're ready to be released, they have a place to go. And the other piece that's being worked on is, like, the Secretary of State's been involved in bringing their mobile licensing unit, so you can get your license, driver's license, or at least a citizenship card, those kind of things, so you've got a Social Security number and stuff when you walk out of the walls. Because that's been part of the problem, is they may even want to go back to work, but because they're not engaged in something, they've not been tasked with getting ready to be able to be out in the past. If idle hands are the devil's playfield, I guess, or something on that order, is the old saying. And so I think the department is truly working to try and get people trained and ready to go. When that happens, I believe you do see less recidivism. And so there's efforts to make that happen.
You have more legislation that is on the docket for this week. Your property tax bill, which is House Bill 4572. Explain that bill for us, Brad, and what it will do if it does become law.
All right. Let's see if I can do this in a concise way. In 2014, a law went in place that said if you transfer property from blood-related individuals to somebody else, so like a father to a son, that there was no uncapping of the required of the property tax. So you didn't have to go up to what the new price was, price point. So it was a savings for property taxes. In 2021, some lawyers and judges decided that didn't mean that it included your spouse. So if you transferred that same piece of property now, it would uncap half of it because your spouse wasn't a blood relative, and the son's half would not be uncapped. So there would be an uncapping of partial. And obviously it was a design to get more dollars for local governments. What this bill would say is that we need to go back to the 2014 ruling or law and just confirm that it is truly not an uncapping, as long as it's transferred to a blood relative, even if that includes a spouse that is not a blood relative. Hopefully, did that make sense?
That does make sense to a certain extent. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does this bill, would that help allow property to remain with a family, to keep it as a legacy, especially farmland? We celebrate centennial farms in Michigan. There's a little plaque that comes, you know, that posted up, and we'd like to see more of that, you know, to keep, especially in the agricultural ways, to keep farms within families and not force families to have to sell the farm because they got to pay their taxes.
And you are exactly right. This does help do that. It enables there to not uncap that, so you don't jump to a new higher tax bracket right away.
Yeah, it helps. And be honest with you, yes, I know, you know, we want to have people pay their fair share in taxes, but we also want to be able to make sure, you know, just because we have to try to make sure the big guys don't get, you know, take all the money, you know, don't don't have collateral damage. So that's good. That's a good thing. How do you approach, as you are running for re-election, how do you approach the fact that it looks like you might have a contested, if not a primary, a contested general election on November 5th? How do you approach it?
The first thing that I do, and have already done this, is I found out that I've got a challenger in the on the Democrat side of the aisle, and so I gave that person a call and said, "Hey, I'm interested in trying to be able to we're going to be in the same place, same time for the next 9 months. Can we sit down and have coffee?" So my challenger from the Democrat side and I have already sat down and spent an hour plus together. Just getting to know each other, about your family, about background, all those kind of things, because I believe that no matter whether we're opponents in this particular cause, we still need to be fellow human beings and we need to be organized and spending time together.
I find that unusual, Brad.
Well, it might be an unusual way of approaching things, but it's ever since I started in my process of being an elected official, it's what I've done just in general, because I feel like it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, which makes the election kind of an interesting. But again, that's not until November the 5th. And we have some elections coming up, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Some school districts looking for either bond issues or to renew the 18 mil now homestead tax. And to be honest with you, that I want to talk about that for a second, since we have a moment or so. It's almost as if it's a rubber stamp. For the most part, if that does get shot down, it's because it's a way that the voters tell the board, we don't like what you're doing. It's a vote of no confidence. But to me, 18 mils for property, if you don't live there, it's not residential property, that seems to be a little high.
Have not looked at it from that perspective. I've probably looked at it before from the perspective that it is something that has been there for a long time, and it's simply renewing what is in place. I think that it's part of the whole effort, this Axe My Tax effort that's going on out there, to eliminate the property tax as the way of funding models for all of these things, for schools, for local government, for all those things, and trying to put that in a place where you look at spending rather than at property and property values. So from my perspective, that probably makes sense for us to try and even take it away from property taxes as a whole and put it on a spending or sales tax, that kind of thing.
If you have any questions that you would like to pose in terms of needs from the office of Brad Slaw, District 85 in Lansing, his office number is 517-373-0841, 517-373-0841, or online, go to gophouse.org, gophouse.org, and then scroll down the drag down menu to Representative Brad Slaw, SLAGH. As always, Brad, thank you very much for your time and answering some of our questions. Look forward to having you in the studio if all goes well next month. Wish you well. And again, thank you and good luck. Thank you very much, Brad Slaw, 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. CBS News with Steve Kathan, head of WHTC News. And we'll have some birthdays, news off the beaten path, and Susie Buzo's Evergreen Commons report in the next half hour.